Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health on WRRS Radio Reading Services in Cincinnati. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, Holistic Clinical Pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions and your host for today's program. We're so glad that you could join us. Your Holistic Health brings you the latest in practical health information and health tips that help keep you safe, give you support, and bring you a message of hope. Today's guest is Christine Magnuson, Master Certified Health Coach, who will be talking about health coaching for positive aging. But first, we have some new information in the news about memory loss. Stress and anxiety can be drivers of diminished memory and attention span. The ongoing COVID pandemic and the war in Ukraine have certainly unbalanced our health and well-being, including our ability to focus. In chronic stress, our brains go into survival mode to stay focused on keeping us alive. During stressful times, critical thinking is not the priority as we are hyper-aware of incoming threats. A little stress is a good thing, but too much is not. How can we better manage stress? Well, we could try the SNAP method by Dr. Gary Small. This is taken from his book entitled 2 Weeks to a Younger Brain. Dr. Small says to do three things: look, snap, and connect. Look. Pay attention to the person or thing you wish to, noting some distinctive details. Snap. Take a mental photo of how the person or thing looks overall, exaggerating one aspect. And connect. Connect the mental snapshot by creating a brand new snap that creatively links both of these mental images. For example, if a friend you just met, whose name is Anne, was wearing red and was born in New York City, picture Anne sitting on a big red apple to remember that detail and her name. Doesn't that sound fun? The SNAP technique. Next, this week I saw an interesting article about the role of prunes for improving bone health in postmenopausal women. Yep, you heard that right. This comes from Damani and his team in a review of several studies published in Advances in Nutrition in 2022. Osteoporosis is a bone disease characterized by reduced bone mineral density. Estrogen protects those bones, but estrogen sharply drops during menopause, leaving many women at higher risk of osteoporosis. We've heard that calcium, vitamin D3, vitamin K2, and several prescription bisphosphonates can be used to help prevent or treat this condition, respectively. But prunes? Two human clinical trials investigated women who consumed 1/4 to 1/2 a cup of prunes per day for 6 to 12 months versus those who did not. Researchers studied bone density and bone biomarkers in postmenopausal women. Positive results were seen in the group eating prunes on a regular basis. Now, prunes cannot take the place of proper bone stressing exercise like weightlifting or adequate nutrition, but they can certainly contribute to bone health. In addition to protecting bones, prunes are nutritious, as they are high in fiber, antioxidant and anti-inflammatory value, and help keep us regular. Today's health tip is about centenarians. What do people living at least 100 years do for fun in their free time? From his book, The Blue Zones, Dan Buettner, the National Geographic World Explorer, and his team found longevity benefits from simply socializing more often. 5 activities that Blue Zone people have in common: playing pickleball, going on walks with friends, gathering for high-energy parties, tending to an edible garden, and laughing with loved ones to lower the stress hormone cortisol and increase endorphins, the feel-good hormones in our body. These all sound like fun. Even more findings in Blue Zone people. They eat plant-based protein daily. Cooking at home is highly valued in Blue Zones. Where are these zones? Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya, Costa Rica, Icaria, Greece, and Loma Linda, California. Preparing for meals connects people to their land, to culinary traditions, and to loved ones. 65% of the Blue Zone diet is carbohydrate-based, with an emphasis on whole grains, greens, nuts, and beans. Many Blue Zone people consume 5 to 10 servings of fresh fruit and veggies daily. In Italy, fava beans and white beans are popular. In Japan, tofu is served. In Costa Rica, they eat pumpkin seeds, black beans, and quinoa. In Greece, chickpeas, lentils, and almonds are favorites. And in Loma Linda, California, regular dietary staples include flax and chia seeds that offer a type of omega-3 fatty acid, which reduces inflammation. And our health tip for the day? Eat more of any of these foods for a longer and healthier life. And now it's time to introduce our guest. Christine Magnuson is a master certified health coach with a focus on seniors. In her coaching, she incorporates her training in positive psychology, the science of happiness. She describes herself as a highly sensitive person and coaches many who share the trait of high sensitivity to their internal and external world. She's particularly tuned in to the challenges of aging and infuses her health coaching with creative ways to manage the stresses of an aging lifestyle through joyful movement, positive attitude, and tasty nutrition. Welcome, Christine, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy. It's so good to be here, and I'm so excited about everything you've just mentioned. I'm going to touch on all of those today.
Great. Well, what's a certified health coach, and what training is required to practice?
Well, actually, I'll start with the reason I went into health coaching, and that is what you just mentioned, osteoporosis. I think I need to get some prunes right away. There are a wide variety of health coaching programs, and thank goodness that the field has emerged because there's such a need and so many gaps that we're filling. And I was particularly looking after I was diagnosed. Actually, I had 5 different diagnoses when I turned 65 that were reversible. And I thought, I can either decline or I can just turn this around. So one of the diagnoses was osteoporosis, and I started to go to a personal trainer and build myself up. And I thought, if I can help myself, I want to find others earlier than 65. I want to start working with people that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s and help them prevent disease. And so I earned my certification. I looked for a program that was approved and accredited by the National Board for Health and Wellness Coaching. And I found the Dr. Sears Wellness Institute, which I love because it has 4 different areas, LEAN, lean, lifestyle, exercise, attitude, and nutrition. And it also allowed me to specialize in working with seniors. And I also then took the advanced training, which was particularly learning the coaching techniques to help clients develop that internal motivation so that they could design their own health goals and by doing that themselves, they would create lasting change.
All right, so why would a senior come to you in particular, besides maybe osteoporosis? Give us a couple more ideas.
Well, another one of my diagnoses was sleep apnea, and this was the last thing that they found, actually. Couldn't figure out why I was so fatigued. And a lot of people have sleep apnea. As we get older, we might gain weight or have different problems that create this. And so now I have a CPAP that manages that. A lot of older people have diabetes, and there are certainly lots of ways to manage and mitigate that with diet and exercise. So it's never too late to get healthier. And if you think of the human body, I was walking through the forest, and I had this thought that our bodies are these miraculous vessels, and they rejuvenate and they repair, and we're given this body to do all these amazing things with. Our minds, our bodies. It's really exciting to think of. And what was exciting to me is that at any age, we can start repairing that. Even, for instance, when a person stops smoking, within just a few weeks, the lungs start to repair. So I look at the lifestyle, the challenges of seniors, and a lot of times we're charged with the role of caregiving. You talked about chronic stress. What a prime example of chronic stress. And we also tend to get more isolated from family or friends. And what you mentioned with social networking and supports is so key. And all of these things can, health coaching can help in these areas. And then also as we age, we experience more mental and physical challenges. So working through creative health coaching techniques offer an enjoyable kind of a smorgasbord of enjoyable activities and movement things, and work, of course, working with the client to develop that plan.
So part of health coaching and the skills that you are describing are motivational interviewing and listening, which are very different from traditional medicine practice where we're telling people what to do all the time.
Right.
But a coach is actually engaging with a client, asking, what is your goal? Do you have a measurable outcome? Is this something that's reasonable and seems compatible with your lifestyle? Why are motivational and interviewing skills so important, do you think? And how effective are they in your practice?
You nailed it with that question, Kathy, because motivational interviewing, as you said, is first of all, a way for a person, it's based on the idea of that internal motivation. If you think of the idea that, you know, you had someone sitting in the back seat telling you how to drive, role of the health coach is the passenger seat who is simply just supporting the person as they're driving their own car. And initially, you know, we're setting goals with the client at the beginning. We're using empathetic, reflective listening, which is so important. I hear often from my clients that they feel heard, that they truly, and that tells me that they have taken the driver's seat, that they feel that I've given them the tools and the love and the respect that they know what's best for themselves.
So I'm really anxious to know more about this positive psychology and the science of happiness. I bet our listeners are too. How do we shift away from these negative thoughts that creep into our minds, especially at bedtime, but perhaps even during the day?
I love positive psychology. It is positive psychology and science of happiness are kind of interchangeable. Science of happiness is kind of the overall broader term that basically studies what makes people happy. In in the field of positive psychology, there were over 100 concepts that were studied by social scientists. And I took this training in positive psychology, and every time I taught it, I was happier. Two of my favorite tenets in positive psychology are savoring and flow. And I love to weave that into every session. There are so many ways for us to savor and flow. And so you ask, how do we switch that thought? So if we are experiencing something that, let's say our mind is busy, if we're living in our heads at the moment, we walk out the door and we look at a bird, or we look at the colors of the green leaves, we get into our senses, then that's an immediate shift. And that's a wonderful way to just instantly shift our energy and thoughts.
Well, I love that. I think to piggyback on top of that, saying affirming statements, just sort of changing the negative tape, could be combined with sensory input and make it even more powerful, don't you think?
I like that, definitely. Yeah, people use affirmations. There's also the idea of gratitude. You know, you've heard of gratitude journals where people might write three things every day that they're grateful for. And they might be in the most dire of situations. But if there's always something to be grateful for, you can be grateful that you have a roof, you know, anything. So, yes, affirmations, excellent.
So, highly sensitive seniors, this is the first time I've heard anybody address that. I thought we were not as sensitive as we got older. And so I want to hear your perspective on that. And how is it that you have come to practice with them?
Well, actually, seniors, we get more sensitive as we get older. So I think people come to me because I am an HSP, a highly sensitive person. It's a thing. The term HSP, highly sensitive person, is also called sensory processing. Sensitivity was based on the work of Elaine Aron, who did some research and found that between 20 and 30% of the population have this innate trait. We're born with it. It's not a disorder. It's actually, it's challenging and it's a gift. A lot of us HSPs tend to see the world in, you know, very similar ways. If we could, we would turn the volume down and the speed down in the world. we are deep connectors. We deeply connect with nature and music and art, and we're sensitive. A lot of us are very sensitive to things like medications and chemicals and foods and things like that. So those people that are highly sensitive, and by the way, I put a free quiz on my website. People can find out if they're an HSP. And I took this quiz a few years ago and found I was really high on the scale. And it's helped me a great deal in recognizing what the challenges are and how I can manage those challenges and also value the gifts that we have, because HSPs have a lot to give. So the way that I put this into coaching is that if I can recognize after somebody finds that they are an HSP, I can help them through that lens to manage their challenges and live an easier life.
Well, we certainly appreciate what you're doing, and I'll keep this in mind for my clients as time goes on, to know that there are professionals like yourself who are willing to help, and such a wonderful population in need. So let's talk a little bit more about the logistics of health coaching. Now, does a doctor refer clients to you, or do families, or do clients self-refer, or all of the above?
All of the above, sure. No referrals are necessary. Anyone can access health coaching. Many practitioners do recommend health coaching for their patients because they don't have the time to follow a patient. I mentioned diabetes. A certified dietitian might be working with a person with diabetes who can then benefit from health coaching, who can follow up with them, mentor the client in sustaining those their diet plan. And when I do the initial call in the coaching process, we might determine that other professionals, such as a counselor or a physical therapist, might also be useful for areas outside of my scope of practice.
And I'm going to add holistic clinical pharmacists. How about that?
Yes, indeed. My first thought, yes.
All right. So does insurance cover any of your health coaching?
Not yet. There is some work in that in the field, but I think of those for those are on Medicare. There are a number of therapies that are available that a health coach can complement, such as in the case of the registered dietitian. You know, we can then look at a treatment plan. Certain things we don't do as a health coach. We don't diagnose, treat, prescribe. So those professionals who do then can give the treatment plan to the patient and then bring it to me, and then we will work with that and our goals around that plan.
So my experience in traditional medicine has been that it is labeled as being quite fragmented. It's kind of getting a bad rap these days. However, I do see, in at least within the last 10 years, more and more individuals who are practicing in a traditional medicine sense that will refer to health coaches, will refer to other integrative healthcare professionals. So the team is broad and wide and maybe not as easily connected, more on paper than it is in reality, but nonetheless, it does exist. That's what I see in Cincinnati. What do you see in your area of practice?
I'm on the West Coast, near Seattle, and we're very progressive here. We have the luxury of having Baxter University in Seattle, which trains naturopaths. A lot of people are living in the outdoors. There's a lot of interest in holistic medicine. So I'm at home here, and it's exciting to see the field of functional medicine, which I kind of feel is on the borderline between conventional and holistic integrative medicine, growing, expanding. So it is wonderful to know that we can refer to and appreciate one another. And I've asked my doctor what she thinks of health coaching, thinking it was lesser. And she said, no, you know, there's a role for all of us here. So if we can appreciate that and work together, it's a beautiful offering for the patient, for the client.
I agree. So we're kind of wrapping up now on your part of the show today, and I've got just a couple more questions left for you, Christine. And I'm curious about backsliding and the notion that we get a goal set and we agree to a timeline and we agree to small term gains and we agree to meet and check in. But human nature is such that we can expect it's not going to be a smooth sail all the way up to our goal and completion, right? What happens when people backslide, and how do you keep them motivated and positive?
Well, you're right. All humans backslide. I've been a backslider. As you mentioned, Kathy, the key to stay on track is initially setting up those reasonable goals with the client that are measurable and realistic at the beginning. And there is a form, an agreement form, which increases their commitment. But there's no punishment. You know, when the client slides off track, and you know, everyone does in their lives every day, we don't have our to-do list and we don't get them all done. And we just reevaluate. Together we determine what's interfering, and we adjust and we set new objectives. So I did that with my own personal trainer, and she always helped, said, okay, we'll start a little less this time and work up again. So that's the important piece and part of health coaching, is to be able to be flexible and respect the pace of the client.
Absolutely. And so we don't have to be perfect.
Oh, no. Imperfection is my mantra, my motto.
All right, very good. So our last question is, where can listeners go for more information about your work, Christine?
At your at yourvitalitycoach.com. You'll find the link to the free HSP quiz that I mentioned. There's also a super salad chart there. There's a form to request and a free initial call. And I just have one final thought. I was thinking that if this is our only time on Earth in these bodies, let's have fun in the one we've been given.
Well, it sounds like you'd be a fun practitioner to be around. And Christine Magnuson, Master Certified Health Coach, once again, thank you so much for being on Your Holistic Health with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kathy.
We're going to wrap up with a reading. Today, it's from Mr. Rogers, and I quote, "There are three ways to ultimate success. The first way is to be kind. The second way is to be kind. And the third way is to be kind." What an amazing person. It's time to wrap up our show. And this is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, Holistic Clinical Pharmacist. For more information about my professional wellness consultations, please visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. Your Holistic Health podcasts at cincyblind.org. Blessings for health in your body, mind, and spirit. See you next time.